just like Jesus. Amen. We thank you this morning for coming out to the house of prayer one more time, where God is the ruler and God is the teacher of his saints. We thank you this morning, Lord, for speeding up the time, Lord. I didn't even know the time had went up. But, you know, we thank God, you know. These are some trying and challenging months in our lives. I know each and every one of us are going through something or have gone through something. But we give God the victory. We give God the praise, amen. I thank my friend, Sister Anderson, for coming out today. Her family, her father, and us, we were all in the same minister's conference together. And her father's a pastor, she's a minister, and we thank you, Sister Anderson. Our text is coming from Luke, chapter 13. Verse 6 through 9. That's Luke, chapter 13. Here we go. Do anybody have a phone so I can get there? Yes, ma'am. Here we go. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. And I will start at verse 1. When you have it, say amen. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, said unto them, suppose ye Galileans were more above all Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall of all likewise perish. And then Jesus, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree and planted it in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold thee, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on that fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth the ground? And he answered, said unto him, Lord, let it alone. This year, let it alone, till I shall dung about it. So I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if it not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. May God have a blessing to the reading of his word, where his word is always rules and reign in the church. The title of my message this morning is Thanks for Another Year. You know, it's only been 3 months since the year 2026. And we've all had great promises. We all made great promises. We all made great statements of affirmation at the beginning of the year. But in this text, it talks about three things: the fruitless tree and Jesus, the great intercessor. And my third one is the benefits of being planted in a local church. My last one I'm not going to talk too much about, because if I was doing a series, I would just do that by itself. But let's get to the text. It says, "He, with all the people needed to repent, unless you repent, change your mind for the better, and hardly amend your ways, and accept Christ as your Savior." That was in the first three or four verses when they was talking about the Galileans. They thought that the people who had died was more sinners than anybody else. And Jesus came out flat out and told them, say, "You ain't no better than them. Unless you repent, you gonna perish." You know, it's strange that when catastrophe come, we always want to blame somebody about they sin, amen? But that's not the case. Jesus told them, that's not the case. It was horrible, but you got the same issue. The historical context of this text goes back and says, God chose Israel for his own people. He made them a people near to his heart. He loved them. He chose them to be a model to the nations, for the others could learn from them. Isn't that sound like the church? God has placed us in the body to be a model for other citizens in this nation and in our community. He gave them advantages for knowing and serving him. Isn't that sound like us, that he gave us so much? He's given us so much. You know, and it says, and yet they did not accept the Messiah. They didn't accept the Messiah who preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, one of repentance, redemption, and restoration. For 3 years, Jesus preached to the Israel nation, and they didn't listen. It's kind of like my family. You know, I've been preaching to them about 20 years, and they not even listening. I say, "Lord, what's going on?" He said, That's the problem. He said, they didn't receive him, but tragedy came. In AD 70, 40 years later, the Roman legion, 3,000 and 6,000 soldiers plus cavalry horsemen, came into the city of Jerusalem led by General Philelphus and destroyed the second temple. And the people were enslaved and dispersed throughout Roman Empire and beyond other nations. The first line of the text says, the fruitless tree. He spake a parable unto a certain man who had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Isn't that something? But you know what, Mark? Can I interject, Mark? I want to interject, Mark, that if I'm the tree and you planted me here, why am I not bringing forth any fruit? God, you put me here. You placed me here, but I'm not being fruitful. God has strategically planted us in the body of Christ in a local church for a season, and this time for the kingdom purposes, that we would have fruit that glorifies God. Verse 7 said, then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, which represents Jesus, which represents the master agricultural specialist that manages the entire cycle of a tree. If anybody know about trees, if anybody know anything about fruit, it's God, amen? If anybody knows how to cause a tree to be productive, is God. Any, we got any people who plant flowers here? Raise your hand. It's a tedious work. You have to learn about it. You have to know about it. It says, behold, these 3 years. Jesus was here for 3 years. The man said, 3 years I came by seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I found none. Cut it down. Why cumber the ground? If you're not going to do anything for God, if you don't want to do anything for God, don't you know God got replacement players? God will move us out the way. I say, Lord, if it will help this church to grow, just move me out the way so somebody can take my seat and so that the church can grow, amen? If you're not going to do anything for God, move out the way. God expects fruit from our lives and for us to give him glory. God is looking for a return on his investment. The reason is because we had a debt that we couldn't pay. We all look for a return on our investment. That's oil that's in my eye. That ain't the Holy Ghost. That's oil. You say, God is looking for a return on his investment. We all look for a return on our investment. When we raise our children, we look for a return that they would become productive citizens in this world. When we invest in our 401ks and our Roth IRAs, we look for a return on our investment. Yet Jesus is not talking about natural fruit. He's talking about spiritual fruits that empower us. And the only way we can be empowered is by the person of the Holy Spirit. Beecham, Coach. we can do good naturally. People is not void of doing good. We can love people, we can help people, but there's a difference when you're empowered by the love of God, by his Spirit, that he infuses us, and that love comes pouring out of us. It's not natural, y'all. It's a supernatural move of God in our life. It says, by the presence of the Holy Spirit and display Christ-like character, based on Galatians 5:22 and 23. When the Lord is moving in our life, it represents transformation of life. It represents change of life. And then it goes on, verse 8 says, and he answered unto him, Lord, let it alone this year. Isn't that a wonderful? The great intercessor, Jesus is our intercessor. When the owner of the fig tree wanted to chop it down, Jesus interceded and said, Lord, let it alone. Many times we give up on people. We count people out. But this year God said, Lord, let it alone this year. It's like being pardoned from a sentence. It's like having a reprieve from God. He say, let it alone till I dig about it and dung it. I heard this morning about people here praying. You know, the Bible talks about we being intercessors. Intercessors are watchmen. He's a person who prays on behalf of others, standing in the gap between God and on the behalf of others. How many have done that? That stood in the gap for somebody else. That you was praying for somebody else. It was a sincere prayer that you had for them. It's a watchman on a wall. And remember in 1997, October, which is Pastor's birthday, month of his birthday, we went to a meeting called Promise Keepers. And the name of the meeting was Standing in the Gap. It was at the National Mall of Washington, D.C. Over 1 million Christians at Mall C. We talk about Martin Luther King. We talk about Farrakhan and his march. But this march that we was partakers of, Pastor Will, we was partakers gathered to focus on prayer, the family, the church, national reform, and to promote unity across denominational divides and racial lines. Promise Keepers. We've benefited through Promise Keepers. We pray with all types of brothers, Mexicans, Hawaiians, Africans. It didn't matter. They was from all parts of the world. It kind of reminded me of Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. A lot of times our country is not healed today because the church ain't praying. Our communities are falling apart because we're not participating in our community. Jesus pleads for another year. I thank you, Jesus. Can you say that? I thank you, Jesus, for another year. The question is today on the floor, what are you going to do with another year? Hezekiah was sick on his deathbed. And I think 2 Kings, he was sick on his deathbed. And he told the Lord, Lord, give me some more time. And God gave him 15 more years. What would you do with 15 more years? How would you respond and how would you go about your Christian responsibility if you had 15 more years added to? Don't you know there's a certain ticks in our body? There's certain ticks on our life. We only have a certain number. I don't know when my number be called. You don't know when your number be called. But we want to make a difference in the world today. The text also shows the mercy and compassion of God. Jesus states, let me work on them. When I read that, when I saw that, I was jumping around. Lord, work on me. Anybody need the Lord to work on them? Anybody happy that the Lord is working on you? I ain't talking about working on Susie. We always can point the finger. You need to work on that person. They need some prayer. But God is working on me. God is working on you. It says, God will take your mess, the dung in your lives, the mistakes you made, and turn it into productivity. One quote says that God can take your sour lemons and make sweet lemonade. God can transform difficulties into positive, beneficial results. Romans 8:28 says, we know, how many know in here? How many know? We know that all things work together for the good. But this is the catch for the call, the elect. We are the called out ones. He's working it out for us. If I had a song to sing, he's working it out for me. Anything would be like this. God will perfect that concerning me. Sooner or later, he'll work in my favor. He's turning around for me. Yes. Let me dig around the tree. If you want to get the solution to any problem, start at the heart and the mind. Most of our problems start in the heart and the mind. The gardener said, "Let me dig around the tree. Let me dig around it some more." God can take the mess and the hard things in our life to help us grow. Hosea 10 and 12 says that if you feel like your spiritual life is drying up, sometimes we feel like that. We feel like that we're not making progress. We feel in the doldrums. It says life is drying up or has dried up. Or maybe your zeal for the things of God is waning. You're not excited like you used to. You're not as hot as you used to. You know, you don't jump around as much as you used to. You don't cry as much as you used to. You don't read your word as you used to. It's almost gone. Be encouraged, church. God is about to break up that fallow ground. We've been inactive too long. God is about to rain on you. If you abide in Christ, God, and you're feeling dry, God is about to rain on you. It says, what do you mean? Well, God is about to rain on you. You break up the fallow ground, the hardness of the dirt. When we look at it naturally, we're breaking up the hardness of the dirt because of spiritual neglect and preparing a work for God to work in us. It says that Hosea said, he said, if you sow in righteousness, sowing in righteousness means that you'll be obedient to the will of God. You want it to rain on you. You wanted your not just your leaves to get wet, but you need your roots to get wet. He said, real mercy. He said, you'll reap mercy. Thank God that he hasn't forgot about us. He said he will continue to accept our call to repentance. It says that the urgency, if you want to be rained on, you must have an urgency to seek the Lord. I will keep seeking the Lord until he brings revival. But not just regular revival, but revival fire. Revival fire that touches other people. Revival fire that impacts people. Revival fire that impacts people, but not just to be impressive. If it bears fruit, in closing said, verse 9 said, if it bears fruit, well, you know, God, I don't know. God left it an open-end statement. I was like, where's the kicker at, Lord? did the tree bear any fruit? What happened? Give us the end of the story. He said, if not, then after that, after all that cultivation, spiritual cultivation, cut it down. You don't want to be in that crowd. You don't want to be cut down. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God is using delay time for opportunity for all men, women to repent. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, we all need to be in the lake of fire. But God waited on us. He waited on us. They got mad at Jesus because he showed up to somebody's house late. They said, if you would have been here, if you would have been here, my brother or whatever, you know, he wouldn't have died. He said, but I delay so that the glory of God be manifested. So in closing, I don't know where you're at in your spiritual walk. I know where I'm at in my spiritual walk, and I thank God for his mercy. But you know, God has given me another year to get it right. You know, get it right. To be impactful, not impressive. Impactful means that when you come in a room, things happen. People don't know why things is changing because the Spirit of God is so heavy on you that God uses you to walk through a room and change people's lives. God uses you in a grocery store. I heard Sister Picard said she was getting an award and God used it and they had church service. You know, hey, give God praise. It's real, y'all. It's real. It's real. You can feel it from your family when you walk in the house. They be like, uh-oh, here she come. We know we need to get right with the Lord. I'm glad you understand that. So we give God the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.